good day out there, people. All our fans out there listening to our podcast is Coach EJ, Eric Johnson, the brand.
And Coach Aaron Thigpen, the source.
Aaron, this comes up all the time. I feel during the seasons with all athletes who are out there playing their season in high school or even during the other sports and their club teams or whatsoever. And that's this subject we're going to talk about today is really training during your season, training through your season. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about training through the season and the importance of it, but I want to kind of come at it from a different direction and kind of what prompted us to have this conversation is I think there needs to be a realistic assessment of who you are as an athlete and who's going to be recruiting you. And what I mean by that is we get a lot of kids who are developmental. Every now and then we'll get a blue chip and that sort of thing. But most of us are mere mortals and we're all developmental.
Right.
So I think with that needs to have the understanding of how do I position myself best to be recruited? And I still think there's this old school notion that I'm going to get recruited while I'm playing my high school sport. If I'm not playing high school baseball or basketball or football, I'm not going to be seen by these scouts.
Right.
Well, reality check is nowadays, most scouts or recruiters aren't coming to high school games unless you're a blue chip athlete. So then that begs the question, well, where am I going to get recruited? Well, in the case of baseball, it's going to probably be during that summer tournament season. In softball, that summer tournament season. In basketball, that, AAU travel league season. So obviously the exception to that is football.
Right.
But so if you're a developmental athlete, you're not that blue chip athlete that, coaches are clamoring to come see, then you've got to ask yourself, how do I get myself ready for the prime opportunities when those recruiters are available to me, i.e. summer, i.e. after all of these high school seasons?
Right.
So what tends to happen is because athletes think they're going to be seen during their high school competitive season, is they stop training and stop developing themselves.
Right.
And most high school seasons are what? Anywhere from 8 to 10, sometimes 12 weeks if you're talking postseason.
Right.
Well, that's basically 3 months to detrain. So you do all of it. So if you're doing things correctly, say even if you're doing things correctly, you're doing all your off-season training. So you get a 4-month off-season training program in.
Right.
Boom. Season hits. And all you do is go to practice every day. But you don't continue to train. You don't continue to work on keeping your arms strong, your legs strong, working on your speed, your agility, your balance, coordination, all those things that make you a better player or that you have to continue to work on to make you a better player. You stop that for 3 or 4 months.
Right.
Basically detrain for 3 or 4 months. Okay, end of that high school season is over. Now you're going into the prime season where you're going to be seen and you've basically detrained for the last 3 or 4 months. And maybe there's a 2-week window before you start that summer season where you're now going to get into in front of all those important eyes. You can't do it. You're going to be sub-maximal. You're going to be sub-optimal. So the answer is you bite the bullet and you train through the high school season. Now, the first thing I always hear is, well, we've got practice every day and then we've got studies. You got to figure out how to make it work. And it's going to look different for everyone. Right. If that means getting up at 6 a.m. to do your strength and conditioning or do your running or take your extra, you know, take those technical swings that you need to have, or shoot baskets or whatever it is that you've got to work on, then that's what you do. Mm-hmm. Or you do it immediately after your baseball, football, basketball practice, but you get it done. Okay. And yes, it's not going to look like your off-season training where maybe you're dedicating an hour, 2 hours, hour and a half. But if you can get in that 30 minutes, that 20 minutes on a regular basis, and if you've done a good preseason, the cumulative effect of all of those days and all of those workouts throughout the course of the next 3 months while you're competing in the high school arena, it culminates into a better skill set going into that prime season where you're going to be seen.
Well, Aaron, yes, sir. Parents out there understand this. And, you know, we're just trying to get your athletes in a better place. Just think about it. Your athletes want to be student athletes in collegiate level. Guess what they do in college? They train year round. They train during their season. So even though they're playing games, they're playing their season. And those college games are important to get to the World Series or to the NCAA championships. Guess what? All the colleges are training their athletes during the season. They all have to get up early. They have to manage their studies. They have to do study hall. They have to make sure they're getting their lifting in, their agility work, all that stuff, and go play their sport. It's part of the equation. You're trying to be a student athlete. Why wait till you get in college? The biggest thing I hear from college coaches are this, Aaron. These athletes come in as a freshman and they have to adjust. They have to adjust of training every day, training during the season, training during the non-season, and they're not ready. One, they're not strong enough. And this goes back to that detraining theory you have for about 12 weeks where the athletes don't train. Basically, they detrain and they get weaker, or they just go backwards, and you have to ramp it up again in the off season, and you keep on doing that, but you're really just training hard, breaking down, and there's no compound interest. We know what that means. There's no building blocks to where that base strength is getting accumulated and getting stronger and stronger each season, mm-hmm. order, and every year. And when you break down, you keep on breaking that down, the athlete doesn't, one, get stronger and gain weight. They don't gain muscle. They don't gain the muscle they need to compete at the collegiate level. So the detraining theory of what you're talking about is just legitimate. Athletes, parents out there are listening, please train during your season. It's going to make it easier for your kid to get where they need to be. And that breaks down to every sport. You know, I ask all the best athletes that work with us, Aaron, I go, what do you do during the season? This goes back to one of my favorite dudes is Ben Clark, dude. Clark just comes to mind right away. And I saw how hard Ben Clark worked when he figured it out that he needed to train during the season. And he went from 78, 80 sitting to all the way up to 85, 90 because he just he didn't change his mechanics. He didn't say, I'm going to go to this one thing and get this at this clinic and it's going to make me a harder thrower. No. He just started to train during the season and his compound interest, his base, got stronger and stronger. So this detraining theory you have, Aaron, and I wholeheartedly support it. Athletes, train during your season, please. I think it goes a long way. There's other remedies too in training and what you can do. I think you hit upon this too, Aaron. I want you to go over this again too, Aaron, about what do athletes do during the season when they're training? You know, you said something about 20, 30 minutes and stuff. I think you've given me some things over the summer for our guys to do. Can you just throw out a couple of little ideas what they can be doing during their season?
Well, again, during the season, it's really about finding the time and also maybe identifying. You can't get everything done. I understand it. There's only so many hours in a day. You have only so much energy, all those sorts of things. And also you may not have the access that you would need, that you'd have when you have more time, so getting to a different gym. So you might be just constrained to what you have at home. And that's fine. Well, you know, pick some of those areas that you know you can work on and work them. You know, if it's keeping your arm strong, then maybe you invest in some bands, right, and some small dumbbells and plyo balls and medicine balls, and you do some routines at home. Maybe if you have to keep your speed up and you live by a park nearby, or you got a hill on your street, maybe you go do that. Again, I'm a big proponent of either going out to practice early and getting some of that stuff done, because you maybe you have access to things while you're at school, or doing it immediately after. That way everything is kind of compressed, you know, all of that athletic activity is compressed together and it's done. And then you can move on to the other activities that you have to do, you know, your studies and chores or whatever it is, you know, else that's going to take up your time. So it's really just saying, hey, I realizing you can't do everything, but not making that as an excuse to do nothing, and just picking out what you can do and being okay with that.
You know, Aaron, and it leads me to this other thing that I always like to think about with athletes. One, these high school athletes, is the ability to focus for that short period of time and really have a way of getting away from the game, mm-hmm, or their studies, where they can go enjoy and work out. It becomes fun. I mean, I think for some of the guys I've talked to when they train during the season, say, you know, they tell me, they go, Coach EJ, it's a good getaway for 20 or 30 minutes. I can get away from thinking about all these things that I'm going through, and it's my space where I really enjoy working out and getting better, and it gets my mind off other things. So I think that can be a plus, training during the season too.
Hey, it's what keeps me sane. You know, it's not about how hard I work out, how long I work out, but it's that escape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important, right? For these young guys who are young gals who are really under, it seems like, an enormous amount of pressure these days about trying to be where they need to be so quickly, and realize it's a process. And that's part of what we've always talked about, the process. It takes a while. You know, you got to be involved in this process. Part of the process is training during the season and seeing this thing being built and built and built into a really strong component of what makes them a great student athlete is that part of it. So I think that's something that can be positive for them, is to get away and train a little bit and get away from all this minutia that is out there when they're out there just living.
And just to kind of circle it back to my initial point, even if you know, don't quite agree with us, just look at it from a strategic standpoint. Again, if the eyeballs that you want on you are during the summer, don't you want to be best prepared at that point?
Right. And
there's a reason. I don't know, ML.
Right?
So it seems to me that everything you should be doing should be directed towards being ready for those eyes.
You know, Aaron, and it goes back, I'm going to talk in baseball a little bit, because I see some of our athletes not really trained during the season, during the summer season. They have to, because the two recruiting periods are during the fall and the summer. So you're going to need to train during the summer, because the fall just wraps around really quick. So it's like a 4-week for 5-week period before you start playing again. And those recruiters have a month window now under NCAA regulations, where the contact period's a month. It is a month. You're going to have to be ready, you know, for so you're playing in the fall also. Well, you better be trained during the summer and just doing your maintenance work. So when you go into the fall and you have that period where you have that 4-week window or 5-week window when you're off, you can go back to training full time then and stay strong and get ready for that important 8-week stretch, or I'd say month stretch, where schools will actually able to contact you and watch you, literally, because it goes into a dead period to where, you know, you got to go on a college campus to get looks. I'm just saying out there, people, you know, understand that this detraining thing is important, that if you want to maintain some sort of strength, and what college coaches say, athletes are not strong enough. That's what they're saying. And Coach EJ, we see a lot of young athletes that come to us that aren't strong enough because they haven't been training enough or don't know how to train, and we have to redshirt them, or they don't get any playing time, or they're not prepared to play at this level. And it has everything to do with training.
Yeah. I'll leave you with this. I don't necessarily believe in luck. I think luck is more a byproduct of being ready for an opportunity when it presents itself and being able to take advantage of it. That's luck.
Hey, with that said, Aaron, great subject today, man. Hey, people out there, it's Coach EJ, the brand.
And Coach Aaron, the source. But before we get sign off, again, we're going to have some great topics, a great guest on our Champions Are Built series. It'll be coming up probably beginning of the year. We're going to be talking to different people in the sports industry and just talking about, hey, what makes a champion? What's that path to athletic success that even translates into success in life? So a lot of different personalities, some great stories you'll get to hear. So stay tuned for that. Also, we're going to be on the Mic'd Up platform. It's a new platform where it's interactive, where basically you guys will get to ask questions of us real time, but you can also submit a question and have it answered by me and EJ and listen to it later. So even if you can't listen to us real time, it's a great interactive platform for you guys to engage with us and the subjects that we're going to be talking about. And we'll probably be calling it Asked and Answered, but again, that's in development.
All right.
I'm not used to saying it yet, but anyway, some good things in the works. I want to thank those who are listening to our podcast. Please give us your feedback. We're doing this so that we can help educate you guys and the athletes and any subject we don't mind talking about. So send us your thoughts, send us your comments, and that's it. We'll see you guys later.